You are listening to the Sheep Guarding Llama podcast for Wednesday, October 19th, the year of our Lord, 2005. Welcome to episode number 6 of the Sheep Guarding Llama podcast. Very excited to be back for another episode. I'm exceptionally excited because I was recently checking out, for those who have used Podomatic, which is who is doing our current hosting for this podcast, just this week, they've added statistics to the site, which is really, really cool because obviously if you're doing podcasting, the first thing you want to know is, you know, how many people are listening, and it's very exciting that the statistics went up just in the last couple days, and the first thing I noticed was that already the show having only a single episode having been posted to Podomatic, already we've had as many as 3 downloads in a single day. So that's pretty exciting. Definitely more than I was expecting at this point with the show being so new, so few people having readers, aggregators for podcasts. So that's a really impressive number, I think, for being so early in the show's history. So thank you to everyone who is actually listening to the show. That's very encouraging. And I know that this is a pretty long format show. About 25 to 30 minutes per show is pretty dramatically long. But for those of you who are listening and are managing to sit through this, please bear in mind that while it is obviously tough to listen to this for 25 minutes, it is actually much harder to produce, because I am not generally editing these shows. This is being done on the first take. It's live, if you will. It is recorded, obviously. The whole podcast format is an on-demand format, but the fact that I'm doing this in a single take, beginning to end, each episode is a little bit challenging, which I never really thought about, just how much it was to do a show of this length straight through without rehearsal, without editing, until I listened to Bob Christman doing his Star Wars podcast, which I listened to last week, I believe. And he does about the same length that I do. And I do believe he's editing. I think he's cutting his into about 3 parts. I know he's putting some musical interludes in the middle. I'm not sure if he's using a separate recording, and I'm not sure what tools he's using. I think he's using Podomatic's built-in tools, so I'm not quite sure how that compares to the studio system that I'm using. I'm working with Audacity, for those who haven't heard it enough times. But listening to his show to 25 minutes, you begin to think that it's pretty amazing to have someone sitting there recording for such a long period of time without having to refer to too much and not having to edit it and splice the show together. So keep that in mind when you're listening to the show. This is a challenge, and I'm doing my best. I would like to make an announcement tonight that no matter what people say, hamsters do sometimes smell, and Mr. Humphreys is an incredibly stinky hamster today. And he has actually come out to visit while we're doing the show. He's staring at me right now. Unfortunately, hamsters are silent, so he can't say hello to everyone. But luckily, he is awake and wandering around, so if we're very lucky, we're going to be able to get his cage clean today. It's one of the big challenges with hamsters, that they're on a pretty odd schedule generally. They're nocturnal. They like to come out. Oh, he's actually come out into his wheel, so he's directly next to me now. He's only about 8 inches away and kind of watching us as we do the show. I think he hears my voice and finds it comforting. But hamsters are nocturnal. We found that Mr. Humphreys tends to come out in a very, very wide range of times. He will quite often get up as early as 9 o'clock or not get up at all until about 4 a.m. And so we can't predict it at all. So getting his cage clean is really tough because he sleeps in the area that we have to clean the most. And obviously he has to be awakened out of that area for us to clean it. And so it's really tough trying to, we can sometimes go more than a week with him never ever leaving that spot at a time where we can clean it. So that's tough. But he is now in here in the office, which he seems to be liking quite a bit. He is definitely a very social animal. He likes to be close to people as much as possible. He always has. He used to, when we first got him, he used to sleep right next to me. I would keep his cage by the side of the bed, and he would be able to hear me and be right next to me quite a bit of the time. And since we rearranged the house, he wasn't able to do that. He's been in the dining room, as those of you who have been to the house know. He's been on a bookshelf in the living room for the past 2 years, almost a whole 2 years in that location, which was awfully nice at the beginning because we had the projector in the living room. We would watch movies or shows upstairs, and he would be right next to us, and it'd be easy to walk over. You'd notice when he got up. You could go hang out with him and give him attention. He is a very short attention span rodent, which I guess all rodents are pretty short attention spans. They're very curious animals. It's easy to grab their attention and have it go on to another subject. But he is especially short attention span. It's very difficult to spend time with him, even though he's an incredibly sweet rodent and he loves people. But the moment you start spending time with him, he will come to the edge of his cage. He'll even rattle his door, which I think he might do any minute here. He will rattle his door. He'll actually bang on his cage to get you to come and spend time with him. And the moment you do that, he'll come out. He might jump in your hand. He might run around on the desk or on the bookshelf as it was. And you can pet him, and he doesn't have any problem being petted. He won't run away. He doesn't react to you. He's perfectly content. But he won't keep his attention focused on you, and he will almost immediately find something else interesting and go do that. And then, of course, you'll be left sitting there with no hamster to play with and nothing to do. So you'll go back to what you were doing. And the moment you leave, he will come back, rattle his cage, and you'll think, oh, good, he wants attention. I jumped the gun. And you'll start petting him, and immediately he'll walk away again. And this is an ongoing cycle. He will demand attention and then forget that that's what he was looking for. And so he's very, very tough to spend time with. So we're really glad that we thought of bringing him in here. I have the desk upstairs, which we couldn't have him downstairs because, first of all, because there's fear of other rodents being in the house. We don't know of any now, but there, you know, when we first had the house, for those of you who've paid attention to Sheep Guarding Llama, we had as many as 17 mice in the house from the initial construction period where they left the house open for a few months. And that was a big problem. And we don't want him around other rodents because he has the potential to obviously pick up rodent-carried diseases, and we want to take care of him. And the basement tends to get pretty cold, and that doesn't work because hamsters like it warmer than we do, so we have him in the warmest room in the house, hoping that that will make it as comfortable for him as possible. And, of course, we're not in the basement very often. In fact, since we've moved my office upstairs, part of the goal was to minimize the use of the basement. And we have quite a bit. The theater gets some use, but not nearly as much as we used to, as we do have a couple different ways to watch television or movies upstairs now. We don't actually have television, but DVDs or whatever. We can watch either in the living room on the Macintosh system, or here in the office. We have laptops set up so that we can watch some things up here, and so not every single thing we want to watch demands that we go downstairs into the theater. And of course, it was bound to happen at some point, but the telephone is ringing while the show is being recorded, and so we're actually going to have to edit this show. Okay, the show has been edited, and we are back. Unfortunately, had to deal with that phone ringing there, and actually, the rest of this show is now being recorded on Thursday, October 20th. Dominica actually called me and needed me to run to Tim Hortons around the corner and deal with some stuff that she needed for class. And so this is actually the first show that's being recorded primarily during the day. The sun is out and shining, which is quite different for us over the past several weeks. This is the first really sunny day. I mean, it's clear skies, it's gorgeous, it's warm. Oreo is enjoying sitting in the sunlight, streaming in from the window, and toasting himself for the first time in a very long time. So this is pretty unique. And, you know, a lot of people say that a dramatic amount of overcast tends to cause depression, and I've never been a big believer in that. I love overcast. I actually find sunlight to be very depressing. I find it exhausting. It wears on me very quickly. But after almost 3 weeks of seeing no sunlight at all, it is nice to have a day of sunlight, definitely. This is a gorgeous day, and we are expected to lose this again very quickly with Hurricane Wilma pounding on the Florida coast very shortly. It's going to be coming right up here on the eastern seaboard, and we will have quite a bit of rain and wind very quickly. At least that is what they are expecting currently. While I was gone, I was able to take care of the hamster. He is no longer Mr. Stinky Hamster. He has a thing about making a mess all over the desk here, throwing wood chips everywhere, which is a pain, and he's always a little hassle to deal with, but he's such a sweetie that we love having him. So Once again, I just want to thank everyone who's been listening to the show. That is awesome that so many people have been tuning in and downloading us on a regular basis. I do have, since we've gone over to October 20th, we do have a couple of technical updates that I'd like to mention to everyone. These are posted on Cheap Grinning Llama, so if you want to get links, that's the easiest place to go. But the Open Office Suite from openoffice.org, that's www.openoffice.org, has just gone to version 2.0. You probably can't get to the website today. Those of us who got there first thing this morning were able to get downloaded and installed and are onto the new version of OpenOffice, which is 2.0. But most everyone should be able to get it in the next few days. This is a pretty major stepping stone for the project, and I definitely suggest that anyone who has not yet tried OpenOffice definitely get out there, download it, and give it a try, because this is it's a really great product. You've got pretty much everything you need. A lot of people believe that they're really locked into Microsoft Office, which is a great product, definitely something that Microsoft should be very proud of, but OpenOffice meets and exceeds the needs of definitely 90-95% of all people who need Office products. And actually, very few people actually need Office products. Even that in itself is often overkill. But it is very useful to have one, especially if you're doing a lot of documents, or you know, spreadsheets are a wonderful tool to use just for a million different things. They're just so handy. So get out and try OpenOffice. OpenOffice has the ability to read and write Microsoft files, which is a very big deal. You can run OpenOffice on Linux, on Unix, on Windows, on Macintosh. There is not a native version for Macintosh, but there is a way to run the Unix version on Macintosh. There is a native version coming, I understand, but I have not yet seen it, so I can't speak anything about that. But on all those platforms, you can read and write in Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft PowerPoint, and that's obviously incredibly useful. So that's great, and I know a number of businesses that use it and absolutely love the product. OpenOffice is free. It's completely free. It's a free download. It's free to use. You don't have to worry about any licensing restrictions. You can install it on as many machines as you like. You can update it the moment the new versions come out. You can even try out betas before the new versions come out. And that's obviously a huge benefit with Microsoft Office when you're waiting for a new version. We're currently in 2003, and we're waiting for 2005, as we believe it's going to be called, to release. But we haven't seen it coming out yet this year, so it's unlikely that we're going to have the new Microsoft Office until 2006. And so we're really looking at least a three-year cycle on that Office product, which means no real new features are coming out, no major new features are coming out over a three-year period. And that's a pretty long time for a piece of software to be sitting idle. And obviously Microsoft does do a wonderful job of providing bug fixes and patches, which are available online all the time. So it's not as if the product is not being supported. It's being supported very well. OpenOffice, however, goes through a development cycle, which is much faster, and new products come out much more quickly. And this new version does include a database application, which is actually much more powerful, although not as clean and easy to use as Access. It is a far more powerful, much more of a business tool than Access, which is much more of a kind of a learning tool. It's really good for people at home. Access works out great for that, but the OpenOffice product is definitely far more enterprise class, a lot more robust, a lot more flexible. And so if you're a business user and you're thinking about using that, definitely that's a big, big bonus of the OpenOffice package. OpenOffice also has the ability to export directly to Adobe PDF format, the portable document format, and Microsoft Office is not currently doing that. You can get a really nice product for $10, PDF 995, and I believe its website is www.pdf995.com. That's a free download, or you can get it for $10. For $10, there's no advertising. If you're just going to use it occasionally, you can use the free version, which does pop up quite a bit of advertising. It is quite annoying to use. If you're only going to use it, you know, once a month, I'm sure it's fine. But if you're going to use it on a regular basis, I produce Adobe PDF documents a couple times a week, and I would definitely prefer to have the $10 version if I wasn't using OpenOffice. But since I use OpenOffice, I get to go straight to PDF all the time for free without any annoying advertising, and that's a really great feature, because really when you're sharing documents, both the Word's own Word format and the Open Document format used by OpenOffice, are not designed for sharing documents. They're meant for collaboration on documents. If I'm working on a document and I want to save it and reopen it and work on it again, or I want it to send it to someone I know that I want them to work on it and then send it back to me, that's where those types of formats are really useful. They're meant for lots of people to be able to work on the same file. The portable document format, PDF from Adobe, is not designed for collaboration. It is designed for document sharing. And it is one of the preeminent formats for that. One of the big benefits of it is that when you open a PDF, the person who created that PDF knows exactly what you're going to see. It's a publishing format. It's the accuracy of the recreation is very, very high. And so you can do a real careful layout using it, and you can know exactly what people who are going to look at that are going to see. And that's pretty significant, especially if you're doing a resume or you're doing a pamphlet or a brochure. You don't want to send that out in Word or Open Document format, because settings on the person's computer that you're sending it to could alter that document in ways you're not expecting, and it may not look very good. But a PDF is going to show up exactly as you intended every time. And when they print it out, if they're printing on the same size paper you are, they're going to get exactly the same document on paper that you intended them to get. And so you can actually virtually share paper documents through the PDF format, which you simply cannot do with Word. And so, you know, each one has its own place. They're both very useful formats, but PDF is definitely extremely useful. And that's why so many companies have things like brochures and important support manuals, things like that, in PDF format, because that is the right format for that. In podcast news, the big plan is today is October 20th. In 11 days, Dominic and I are hopping on an AirTran flight to Orlando, Florida. We will be arriving at 3:30 in the afternoon. And the plan is that we will be in Disney World every day from October 31st through November 6th. And we will be returning to New York on November 7th. So it's 7 days inside the park. I will be taking my laptop, obviously, as I have to keep working while I'm away. So hopefully there will be no lag in SGL updates. There often is when I'm out of town, but we're hoping that it won't be too bad. We will be in the hotel very little, obviously. We're staying directly outside the main gates of the park, so we will be in there quite a bit. That is why we're going to be in Disney World. This will be my, I believe, fifth trip to the park, and Dominica's second, so she's very excited about that. Definitely looking forward to being there. And one of our plans is that I'm going to be bringing, at a bare minimum, I'll be bringing the recording equipment that I used on podcast number 4, which I did from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. But we're really hoping that I can get a new microphone that we can use so Dominic and I can easily podcast together. So you might be able to get our show coming from there. If we're really, really fortunate, we might be able to do a daily update of what went on in the park that day. And I think that'll be a really neat, interesting addition to the regular SGL podcast. I know that there is very little in the universe that is more boring to the monotonous tone of my voice. And so I think that'll be really neat, and I think we'll really enjoy that. It'll be a really nice way to kind of share our vacation with everybody, and make SGL a little bit more exciting. So that's really cool. This is the second longest that I will have ever been in Disney World, the longest being 9 or 10 days when Eric, Mark, and I went back in the late 1990s. We had a wonderful time that time that we went, and Dominic and I are actually staying in the same hotel for the same rate, which is awfully nice. So if you include inflation, we're actually getting a better deal this time. And in fact, our park tickets are less expensive as well, even without including inflation. So the overall cost of the trip is very inexpensive. Eric, Mark, and I drove down there, drove straight through in Mark's beat-up old Sunbird, which was not the the best way to travel. And definitely took quite a bit of time. Dominic and I are actually able to travel by plane less expensively than the gas that Eric, Mark, and I spent to drive down. So All around, this is going to be a very good trip. And we're going to do it during the Disney Food and Wine Festival, which we're very excited about. For those of you who aren't familiar with that, you can check out some information about it at allears.net. But what it is every year Disney hosts for a couple weeks in the World Showcase in Epcot. A group of kiosks are set up, sponsored by different countries and regions, and they sponsor kind of like tapas, just small samplings of food from their different regions. So a very large vegetarian selection, which we're very excited about, and each of the different countries or regions that is sponsoring there has at least two or three food items, as well as two or three different types of wine that are paired there. And so it's a really neat thing. And there's quite a number of countries that are going to be there, quite a few more than the World Showcase normally supports. So it's going to really add to the variety of food, and it actually lowers the cost of food, we're expecting, pretty dramatically. So we're planning on being able to eat pretty well and pretty extensively on a pretty decent budget there in the World Showcase, which is... definitely where the best food is to begin with. That's the place to be for adults in Disney World, which Eric, Mark, and I discovered when we were there in the 90s. We found that pretty much every night after going around the park, we would go back to the World Showcase. It is the last part of the Disney main parks to be open. It does close, I believe, an hour to 2 hours after the last of the other parks closes. They have a fireworks display, and because there's so much food there and so much fine dining, which you don't, you do find a little bit in the other parks. If you go into the Magic Kingdom, there is one or two places where you can get a really nice meal, which is really targeted at adults, but they're pretty few and far between. But when you're in Epcot, in Future World, there is very little upper scale dining, but when you go up to the World Showcase, you do find that there is an exceptional amount of really phenomenal food. Whether you're getting French or British or Canadian or American or Mexican, you can just go crazy. There's an incredible amount of food, ranging from casual dining up to pretty fine dining, and so they leave that section open much later at night, and that works out really, really well. So that's one of my big tips for people traveling to Disney World, is to be sure that you don't just leave the parks when the day is over. Make sure you have a park hopper pass. You can move between the parks and give the World Showcase a try late at night. There are some good rides there, not a whole lot, but there is some very interesting stuff. But the entire area is absolutely gorgeous. It's really worth taking the time to hang out in. I know it's one of the parts of Disney that is most overlooked by the average traveler. It's not as flashy and exciting as, say, the Magic Kingdom or Future World in Epcot, but the World Showcase has definitely some of the best adult entertainment in the entire park, between food and geographic educational opportunities, architecture, musical entertainment, folk entertainment. There's even a museum in that area. And that's where the late night fireworks are done. So it's really, really just an awesome location. Make sure you spend plenty of time there, and don't waste your trip by skipping over anything in the World Showcase, because it's really a great value. You can really get a lot more out of your Disney vacation by utilizing the World Showcase quite a bit. And the World Showcase also is on the back side of Epcot. It's on the north side of Epcot, which is often ignored. And if you search carefully, there's actually a back entrance to Epcot that leads directly into and out of the World Showcase. And that leads into the boardwalk area, which is also highly overlooked in Disney World. A lot of people are familiar with Disney Downtown, which is outside of the main theme parks. So it is free to go to. If you're in the Orlando area and you want to go to Disney World and you don't have very much time, or you can't afford to get into the park, you don't want to spend that kind of money, don't want to do rides, the Disney Village area is wonderful. Disney Downtown, Disney West, Disney Downtown West, I'm not sure I have the name quite correct, and Pleasure Island are all located together at the park's main entrance, along with the Disney Hotel Village, which is six hotels that are not owned by Disney but are on property there with their own resort facilities. All of that is right together, along with a two or three Disney resorts all in one location. There's a lot of shopping, a lot of really nice restaurants and clubs and music. Cirque du Soleil is located there, which is not too exciting for those of us from New York who are only 5.5 hours away from the real Cirque du Soleil in Montreal. But that is a pretty neat addition to that area. There's a couple of ride-like things that can be done in that area, but not too much for kids. It's definitely more of a teen-to-adult targeted area, Pleasure Island being 18 and older only, with a lot of the venues being 21 and over only. But there is the Disney downtown area itself has quite a bit for people to do. And so you can spend some time there, and a lot of people go there very late at night after the park closes. Which is great. You can kind of keep the Disney experience going even longer after you're done doing the rides. But what's often overlooked is that there's another area similar to those, which is called the Boardwalk, as I said, which is located with Epcot and not in that particular area. And it's located with a different group of resorts, including the Boardwalk Resort itself, the Swan, the Dolphin, and a couple other of the more standard Disney resorts are all on a small lake located there, and the Boardwalk is a recreation of the Atlantic City Boardwalk, in that style at least. It's absolutely gorgeous, and that venue is targeted even more towards the adult set rather than Disney Downtown Pleasure Island, which is targeted much more towards the late teens and mid-20 age range. The Boardwalk has Jelly Rolls, which is a live jazz club. It does have a dance club. It's a gorgeous location right next to Epcot, and there's a bit to do there. And so for those who are staying in Epcot at the World Showcase until late at night, going out to the Boardwalk after Epcot closes allows you to get away from the crowds, keep away from the younger party scene, and have an even better adult experience in Disney World. And for those who can afford it, the Boardwalk Resort is one of the finest resorts in the Disney area, which I've never had the opportunity to stay in, but I've always wanted to. It's a great location, being so close to where you almost always want to wrap up your days in Disney World. So, needless to say, Dominic and I are very excited about going to Disney, and it's only just a week, over a week and a half before we get to go. And this will be only my second vacation since the last time I went to Disney World in the late 1990s, and will only be my third vacation since the last vacation I took with my parents. I'm incorrect. It's my fourth vacation since the last one I took with my parents in 1994, when I was still in high school. So this will be nice for me. I've been this will be my second time to Disney. I went to Nova Scotia. Obviously, Dominic and I went to Nova Scotia on our honeymoon last year, and my parents took one final trip to Bar Harbor several years ago, and I managed to run up there and spend a couple of days with them. And so that's been that has been pretty much all of my adult life vacations over the last several years, and so I'm definitely looking forward to getting away for a little while. We are very sad that Oreo is not going to be able to go with us. Disney World is not the place to take your dog, especially a dog who has separation anxiety and would want to go with you into the park every day. And so he is going to be staying with Dad for the entire duration of the trip, for 8 days. Hopefully he won't be too upset. He has stayed with Dad quite a bit in the past, so he is pretty comfortable there, but he hasn't been without Dominic and I for any length of time now, for several months, and so hopefully he won't get too upset while we're gone. We are leaving him this weekend. We are going to Ohio on Friday, which is tomorrow, and we'll be coming back on Sunday. And so that's he'll get a little bit of time without us. He's staying with the Ralstons while we're gone. In other news, the last thing I have to mention is college stuff. I am in the process, finally, of wrapping up my paperwork with Empire State College. I know it's been an entire year since I completed all my classwork there. At least we hope that all my classwork was completed. And I'm finally getting all my paperwork in to approve my graduation. With any luck, by the end of November, I will have actually graduated from college. That's what we're hoping, at least. There's quite an opportunity yet for the school to require me to do quite a bit more paperwork. I have to go in front of a review committee, and it is possible that I will have to take another class or two, which will be a big hassle, but this is the time to do it. Things are scheduled so that I can get that done one way or another. I don't believe this has been mentioned yet. Eric has gotten a full ride to college, which is absolutely awesome for him. He's not going to be going full-time. He's going to be going half-time, we expect. But this is really, really cool, obviously. He has not put in any college time yet this far, racked up no college debt. And after having worked with the company he's been with for, I believe he's either just coming up on or has just passed 5 years with the company. He's now going to get to go to college and work towards his degree. Hopefully he'll be able to stay there long enough to get his bachelor's. He's targeting a degree in business administration with a focus on technology is what he's thinking right now. He may end up with a technology degree with a focus on business. It's a tough call to make in that range. It's hard to know exactly what's the best way to go and what's the most beneficial as you're progressing and in the end. So that's going to be something he's looking into. But he's planning on going to Empire State as well, which obviously is the adult college targeted for people who are working and going to school at the same time. He's not exactly excited about the prospect of going to college for the next several years, but it's a really, really good opportunity for him. It really demonstrates just how well it can work out to wait to go to college if you're able to get into a career field where they will send you to college. The value there is really good. He will be obviously racking up a degree as well as racking up his professional experience at the same time, which is incredibly beneficial to any career. He's going to be going for his associate's degree immediately with the goal of moving fluidly into his bachelor's degree with a long-term goal, I believe, at least he's thinking, kicking around the idea of an MBA, probably either from Empire or from SUNY IT out in Rome, New York, which has a pretty excellent MBA program for those interested in technology. As well as Eric, Dominica is looking at Empire State College. We think she's probably going to be starting there in the spring, which is when Eric hopes to be starting. Dominica is looking at going for a second bachelor's degree. Most of you know that she does have a Bachelor's of Science in Biology from State University of New York here in Geneseo. But she is now looking at an MIS or a CIS, Management or Computer Information Services, Information Systems degree. A lot of information science, information services, and information systems are often used interchangeably. And they are slightly different, but they're all very confusing, especially as they have the same acronym, and most people call them all information technology, which is incorrect, but that's what they call it anyway, so it becomes that much more confusing, so a lot of people just refer to it as ISIT. We are hoping that she only needs to take the minimum 32 credit hours that Empire requires you to take from Empire to get a new degree from them. Since she already has a bachelor's from State University of New York, which Empire is a part of the State University, we're hoping that all of her prerequisites are taken care of. Obviously, all of her general education requirements are. And so 8 classes we're hoping will be enough. If they're not, it will only be a few more. She can probably finish up in a year or a year and a half. So that's a lot of Empire State work is going on currently. And it is exciting to see so many people taking the same program that I took at the same school that I took, which is obviously very beneficial to both of them as they have a resource to go to for a lot of overlapping classes. The classes that I took there, I feel, are some of the most beneficial ones. I'm familiar with the textbooks and the ways in which the courses are done, and especially for Dominica, as she will be able to she will have the opportunity to use quite a few of my textbooks, which will make her college experience a lot more cost effective in the long run. So that is about all of the news that we have today. I'm sorry for how long this has run, and for how incredibly dry it is. It is the middle of the day, and Oreo is sitting by me, and if I talk very excitedly, he will become excited and interrupt the recording. So I have to keep it even more dry than usual. But thank you again, everyone, for tuning in to the Sheep Carting Llama podcast. It's very exciting to have everybody listening. And don't forget that Sheep Carting Llama 2 is still going on. That is not going away just because this podcast exists. That one is being kept as the place for the short call-in show when I'm on the road and need to use my cell phone, or just need to get people updated quickly. It's a lot easier to record that show than it is to record this one, but we can get a lot better format with this one, with the work that we can put into it. So that is about all that I have. I'm going to wish everyone a good day, and I'll assume everyone is listening to this on their commute, and hope you have a good day at work, and thanks for listening. Take care.